Hi. We're in Wells this morning to talk about Wells from the water-based activity perspective. The idea of this podcast, or this series of podcasts, is to provide a source of local information to help people enjoying the water and beach to do so more safely. So I'm Mandy, and I'm the RNLI Water Safety Officer for this area, as well as being a crew member on the Inshore All Weather Boats. Today, I've got Chris Thompson here, who's also crew on the all-weather boat and is a keen kayaker as well as yacht and dinghy sailor. So we're going to talk about kayaking in and around Wells. So for most of this podcast, we're going to talk about kayaking. I would say that pretty much everything is also associated with paddleboarding, with the exception of one thing, which is wind conditions, and what's appropriate for kayakers and paddleboarders are different. So Chris, maybe you could explain to us about the difference between the wind associated with kayaking and paddleboarding and why that is.
Sure. Well, I do have a paddleboard that I do use. Obviously, when you're on a paddleboard, you're standing up. You're a huge, great object that's going to catch the wind. When you're kayaking, you're sat down, sort of generally speaking, out of the wind. So for me, a paddleboard is something to use on a nice sunny day when there's virtually no wind at all. That's the best time to use it. If you do find yourself, with itchy feet down in Wells Harbour thinking, oh, I really, really, really want to go paddleboarding and there's a bit of wind, paddle into the wind, see if you can do it. Paddle into the tide. If the tide's coming in, head straight into the tide. Obviously, if you can paddle quite satisfactorily and you're making good progress, then, you know, the jobs are good and carry on. But if you can't, you've already got your answer, which is that you probably shouldn't be paddleboarding that
Okay,
day.
So go into the strongest element first, give yourself a little try out.
Yeah, and then if you get yourself exhausted, you can turn around and let the wind blow you home.
Brilliant. So for paddleboarders, please, that's the key thing to know. Everything else will be relevant for kayakers.
Yeah, one other thing to bear in mind in big winds is that the surface of the water will change, and you will really notice that on a stand-up paddleboard. So it might look all nice and glassy and still when you're down in the town because the buildings are hiding the wind. As soon as you go around the corner, it will be horrible and choppy. So be careful.
So, Chris, What's really nice about kayaking in Wells? What attracted you to want to do it?
I think really it's the variety of different things that you'll see from your kayak. So I've kayaked in various places like the Broads and Shingle Beaches and so on. And when you're there, okay, maybe you see the sea, you see the town, you see the sky. But you come to Wells, you'll see lots of wildlife, lots of different birds, seals, foreign yachts coming in from strange places. Lots of strange people, commercial fishing boats going in and out. You'll get a really good kind of view of what Wells is like as a place and what makes it a community all the time while you're enjoying your kayaking, just having a nice paddle.
That's great. So obviously this is, as you've just alluded to, it is still a commercial port. We have fishermen going in and out every day. So have you got any tips for kayakers about maybe avoiding the commercial boats?
Yeah, very much. I mean, it's tempting to think, oh, gosh, it's really, you know, it's dangerous. There's lots of boats around, but it doesn't need to be. If you look anywhere in the port, you'll see red buoys and green buoys. And what those buoys are doing is just marking out where the deepest water is in the harbour. And what you'll find is all the big boats that are going to come in are going to stay in that channel. So keep yourself outside the channel. So if you're heading from town down towards the beach, you'll see that there are some green buoys, which are quite near the land, and some red buoys that are further out. Just stay to the right of those red buoys, and you won't come into conflict with anyone. You'll be absolutely fine. And just remember, these big boats that are coming in, they can't move as easily as you. If you're on a kayak, you can turn on a sixpence. You've got no problem at all. So just go somewhere where it's nice and quiet, out the way, and have a nice time.
That's lovely. That's brilliant, Chris. So, obviously, here in Wells, those people that have been to Wells before know the tide goes in and out a long way and the water moves pretty quickly. So how do kayakers, what should they be doing to, you know, cope with that?
Okay, well, the first thing is just planning in advance. As you say, I mean, the tide goes out twice a day. And in fact, for about 12 or 14 hours a day, there's no water in the harbour at all. And if that's when you've turned up for your kayak, you're going to be quite disappointed. You're
definitely
not going to go kayaking. So the first thing you need to do is have a look at tide times. You can look on the internet, you can call the harbour office. There's plenty of sources that will tell you what time the tide is in Wells and just figure out. So say, for example, it says it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What that means to us as kayakers is you can start kayaking about 2.5 hours before then, so about 1:30 in the afternoon, and you need to be off by about an hour afterwards, so 5 o'clock. So you've got plenty of time to go out. But as I say, if you don't plan, you're going to rock up at 10 o'clock in the morning and look at a big load of sand and wonder why you bothered.
Yeah, so obviously knowing when the tide times are. What about weather forecasts and how that tallies with tide and all that good stuff?
Well, certainly it's a good idea to look at the weather and look at the wind direction in particular. If you stay in the main part of the harbour, the main thing really, if there's more than about 15 or 16 miles an hour of wind, or force 4, as we sailors would call it, you're going to meet the wind, and it's a good idea to paddle into it to begin with while you're feeling nice and fit and healthy. And then when you're absolutely exhausted, just turn around and allow the wind to blow you home. You also need to think about the tides themselves, because when the tide's coming in, what you'll find is it's quite strong. There's quite a lot of water that's rushing towards you from the sea towards the town. So if you launch in the town, you're going to have to fight your way against that tide. Now, you can help yourself by paddling really, really close into the land. The closer you get into the land, the less tide there is. But even if you do that, it's going to be hard work. So it's usually it's better, if you want to have a really, really nice kayak, perhaps take your car to the beach car park, unload, go over onto the slipway in front of the lifeboat house there, and launch from there. Now, if you turn right, what you'll find is that the tide just carries you all the way down into the town. And you can paddle along quite peacefully, looking at everything and thinking, gosh, I'm really fast at this. No problem at all.
So you're talking about the slipway at the main entrance to the beach between the lifeboat station and the Coast Watch lookout.
Yes, that's right. Sorry, okay. Not the actual slip of the lifeboat station itself, but you'll find that there is a slipway that's very easily accessible from the car park. And as I say, just launch there and turn right and you won't go wrong.
Just before we move on, I think it's worth revisiting a point Chris made earlier about red and green buoys that are showing where the deepest water channel is and the fact that larger boats will be using this channel to get in and out of the harbour. To get from the slipway Chris mentioned into town, before you turn right, you need to quickly and safely cross that channel. So if you think about that channel like a road, look in both directions to make sure there's no boats in the channel heading in your direction. If there are, just wait as you would on a curbside. Once you've established the road or channel is clear, head straight for the nearest red buoy. Once you've passed the red buoy, then turn right and start to head towards town, trying to keep the red buoys
to your right
so that you're well out of the way of the larger vessels and you're keeping out of the deep water channel between the red and the green buoys, and also you're away from the entrance to the outer harbour where large vessels may be manoeuvring in quite a tight space. You can get a pretty good view, a pretty good aerial view of what I'm talking about if you look on the Wells Harbour Office website and look at the navigation video.
And what about getting back?
Well, if you time it right, you can actually have a really nice day. So if you turn up, let's say, an hour and a half before the time it says it's high water and launch, by the time you've paddled down into town, had a look around and everything, you'll be getting towards high water time. If you then turn back, the tide starts flowing out towards the sea, and you can use that to take yourself back to the car park. So you'll actually go very fast in both directions and not have to get yourself too tired in the process.
So when the tide's going out, what about the risk of getting swept out to sea? You know, we hear about that. It happens along this coastline sometimes. So how do people avoid being swept out to sea with those big currents?
OK, so the main thing I'd say is try and get yourself off the water an hour after high water. There's not a lot of fun to be had later than that. I mean, if it is a big tide and it's rushing out, it can rush out at maybe 5 or 6 kilometres an hour, which is probably the speed at which you're kayaking. So you might find what you actually have to do is just paddle into the side and then do the walk of shame, just stumbling back with your kayak over your back, wishing that you'd taken up a different hobby. So what I'd say is just time it right and you'll have a nice paddle.
Okay, that's brilliant. What about equipment that you would suggest having, Chris, for a nice kayak in Wells?
Well, obviously a kayak and a paddle is quite a good idea.
Yes.
I wouldn't go with an inflatable kayak. People do, but I think they're tremendously hard work to actually get them to go anywhere. And obviously they make you very vulnerable to a strong wind. So, I mean, I've been kayaking nearly 20 years in Wells Harbour. I'll go out in quite strong winds because I've got the right equipment. If I go out on an inflatable kayak, I'd probably go out, I don't know, 10% of the amount of the time that I actually do. So I wouldn't bother with that. But then the most important thing you actually need is a watch. Because it's all very well talking about tide times and what's the tide doing and so on and so forth. If you haven't got a watch on, you don't know what the time is.
I suppose you could also have a phone in a waterproof pouch around your necks to use as a watch too.
Yeah, absolutely. And also as a means for calling for help. So that would be good. As long as it is genuinely waterproof. Don't believe Apple when they say your iPhone is waterproof. I've dropped a couple in before and they're definitely not.
Yeah, the waterproof pouches are good when you've got the lanyard round your neck.
Yep.
So if you fall in, it comes in with you and you've
still... Yeah, the other thing I'd say from a kayaking perspective, it sounds like nothing, but... make sure that you're wearing something so that waterproof pouch is kind of inside. So like you've got a t-shirt on over the top of the pouch. Otherwise, you'll find the thing keeps flapping around all over the place while you're trying to paddle. And you'll end up taking it off and then you drop it in the water.
Yeah, not great. What do you think about life jackets and buoyancy aids, Chris?
Well, you certainly should wear one. Probably just a buoyancy aid would be fine, to be honest, if you're in the main part of the harbour. All you want is, you know, there will come a time when you fall off your kayak. And you have to figure out where your kayak is, where your paddle is. If you've got a buoyancy aid, you're not going to waste energy trying to stay afloat. You're going to be able to do the job you want to do, which is to find it all, get it all back and get yourself back on the boat, as it were. If you're not wearing a buoyancy aid, you're going to be struggling around trying to stay afloat, wasting a lot of energy to do that. So I'd say, yeah, just wear a buoyancy aid.
So... some people think that buoyancy aids can make it more tricky to get back into your kayak. What do you think about that?
It's complete nonsense.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So we're recommending whether you can swim or not wearing a buoyancy aid because it helps you be able to collect your gear and get back into your kayak and crack on with your kayak and day.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't wear a self-inflating life jacket like you see on yachts and boats because you might end up spending a lot of time recharging the cartridge. But yeah, a buoyancy aid would be good.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so we've talked about kayaking in the main channel down into the harbour and along the quayside and keeping out the way of big commercial boats. There's a big sea out there that people might think that they would like to explore. So do you want to mention a little bit about that, Chris?
Yeah, I'd say unless you are a very experienced sea kayaker and you've got, you know, all sorts of training and qualifications and things, I just would not bother. Because if you go into the harbour, you're surrounded by land that you can get to if you get yourself in trouble. There's loads to see, lots of smiley faces, people waving at you and so on. If you go out to sea, the coast off our coast can get quite rough quite quickly. And also, there's quite a strong current out there. So even though you think, okay, it's high tide, everything's good. In fact, at high tide, at sea, there is another current which would very quickly whisk you off to Holland. So I'd say just don't bother. Just keep yourself in the harbour. Look at the sea by all means, but there's no prizes for going out there and having to call out the RNLI.
Brilliant. So really, keeping away from the harbour mouth is a good idea anyway, isn't it? The water's funneling very quickly back to the sea when the tide's going out anyway.
Absolutely. And you can also find sometimes you get the tide flowing out the wind in opposite directions and all of a sudden out of nowhere the sea will get very, very choppy and then it's very difficult to kayak. You're far better off just keeping yourself in flat water in the harbour and having a good day.
Yeah, okay, that's brilliant. Thank you. So we've talked about launching off of the slipway between Coastwatch and the lifeboat station down at Wells Beach. There are other places that you could launch your kayak. So do you want to mention about a few of those?
Sure. So one place you will see people launching is just by Pinewoods. So just on the seaward side of the path, the beach bank, the path that goes between the town and the lifeboat station, you'll see people carrying kayaks over there. And if you do that, the considerations are much the same as if you've launched from the slip. You're going to get carried down into town, have a nice time, go home again.
I suppose, is there any consideration about the outer harbour?
Because you can't launch in the outer harbour itself, because that is reserved for the boats that are in there. And again, the question of getting in the way is a pretty obvious question.
The entrance to the outer harbour is pretty narrow and you've got some quite big boats potentially coming in.
Yeah, and also the ground in there isn't the best in terms of if you are trying to sort yourself out and launch your kayak and all the rest of it, you'll find yourself sinking into sand, which is not the best, so just keep yourself out of there.
Fair enough.
The other launch sites are down in the town. So the East Quay, which is the road that goes from, let's say, the gantry down towards the east, you'll see there are slipways down there with people launching kayaks, and you can definitely do that. It's perfectly pleasant. It's easy to keep yourself out of the way there because you're not in the main part of the channel. If you're going to launch there, I'd say probably wait until about an hour before high water, because if you launch there about 2.5 hours before, firstly, there's not a lot of water in there. The sea hasn't really reached it yet. And also, the sea comes in dead quick down there, and you'll find it quite hard work going anywhere.
Yeah.
If you say to yourself, I'll just follow the tide and head off down towards Stiff Quay, you very easily get yourself stuck very quickly. So I'd say leave it until near a high water and just have a little paddle around down there.
Yeah, and stick in the main channel because you've got loads of good landmarks. You can see exactly where you are. You're not going to get lost in the main channel, are you?
No, that's right. And I mean, there's safety, as you say, but also just, what are you going to look at? Do you want to look at a load of mud with a bit of grass on the top, or do you want to look at some very interesting things that you'll see in the main part of the harbour?
Lovely. That's brilliant. So just talking of getting lost or disorientated, Chris, what do you think about people kayaking on their own and also telling someone, you know, where you're going and when you're going to be back, kind of a thing?
Well, I think personally, kayaking on your own is great. I think it's where it's at. I really enjoy doing it. But yeah, definitely, before you go, you should make sure that somebody that's on the land knows where you're going and, roughly speaking, what time you'll be coming back. So as I say, I've been going for years, but I literally cannot get out of our house without my wife saying to you, which way are you going and what time are you coming back? And she's right, because if I haven't rocked up after about 2.5 hours, she's going to call me and say what's up, and if necessary, call the harbour or even call the Coast Guard. So just make sure someone knows, you know, roughly speaking, which way you're heading and when you're planning to come back. Obviously, yeah. If there's more than one of you, the risk is reduced a bit because, you know, it's unlikely you'll all get into trouble at once. But I'd still say make sure someone on land knows what you're doing.
There's also quite a popular app that you can download from the RYA, the Royal Yachting Association, called Safe Tracks, which you can use to help track you and to help call the emergency services should you need. So that's a good one to have a think about. Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks for all of that information. So just thinking about kayaking, I know you do kayak all year round, and what sort of, you know, equipment are you wearing while you're kayaking?
Yeah, that is actually a really good question. It's kind of like a bugbear for me. So you can get cold kayaking. You all know that if you've paddled anywhere. But it's particularly the case here in Norfolk. We are open and exposed to the North Sea. And if the wind has got any north in it, it gets very cold indeed. So during the middle of summer, I'll wear a shorty. Because if I fall into the water or I choose to go for a swim or whatever, I know that, you know, all my important bits in the middle are keeping warm with a shorty on.
Well, even in the summer, on the warmest days, the water around the country as a whole is below 15 degrees, which is where you can get cold water shock if you go under the water too quickly.
Yeah, and to put that into context, if you go and swim in a swimming pool, that will generally be heated to sort of the mid-20s. And you may be cold in a swimming pool. You think, oh, I feel a bit chilly in here. And you're saying, what did you say, 15?
Yeah, humans lose body heat 25 times quicker in water than in air. So if you're wet and you've got, and you're sat on a kayak and you've got the wind, you're going to get cold pretty quickly.
Okay, so the rest of the answer to your question is from about the end of August, I'd be wearing a 3mm wetsuit, boots and gloves for exactly that reason. I then keep going right the way through the winter. During the winter, I wear a 6mm steamer, 6mm hat and gloves. And I actually wear two pairs of boots. I have one that's my size and one that's twice the size, or not twice the size, but anyway, too big. I wear one on top of the other because obviously your feet get wet. I use sit-on-top kayaks, and that means I've got 12 mil on my feet. Now, I say it's a bit of a bugbear because you'd be horrified the number of times I'll be out on a very, very cold day, having a perfectly nice time, come around the corner, find somebody else kayaking, wearing a winter coat, maybe.
A winter coat?
Yeah, like the sort you'd wear for on a dog walk. And right. Saying, well, I've got this on to keep myself warm. They haven't got any neoprene on them at all. And they think they're nice and warm on there. But the reality is, if they fall into the water, they've got minutes.
Yeah, literally minutes. Yeah.
The other thing to bear in mind is April and May, June. You might think, oh, it's gorgeous. You know, summer's here at last. I don't need a wetsuit and so on. In Wells, the water takes a long time to warm up.
It takes a long time to warm up everywhere.
Well, you swim in it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
But you'll find that, you know, on a gorgeous day in May, it might be lovely and warm in the air, but if you get in that water, it's icy cold because there's a huge body of water in the North Sea. It takes a long time to warm up again.
You can easily be lured into a false sense of security on a nice day.
Yeah, so get yourself a good wetsuit. Make sure you're wearing it. Generally, if you come to our house, there's at least two wetsuits drying somewhere in one of the rooms. It's a good thing to have.
And recap the key things that Chris spoke about. So Chris, if I missed something, let me know. So first thing, know the local tide times. The second thing is make sure you're taking the tide and the wind direction into account when you're planning your route. As Chris said, there's no point in knowing the tide time if you haven't got a watch or a phone so that you know what time it actually is. So wear something that's got the time on it. Also, have a means of calling for help. So a phone in a waterproof pouch around your neck is brilliant. Wear a buoyancy aid. It will help you if you capsize. And tell someone where you're going and when you're going to be back. Thanks.